Have you ever watched a mother train her child by providing the opportunity to make a choice? Often it's very effective and develops the child's ability to reflect on the decision even at a young age. From the moment we wake up, our lives are filled with choices, so making decisions isn't foreign to us. But what about the choice we need to make regarding our thankfulness? Today here on Turning Point, Dr. Jeremiah continues his series, God, I Need Some Answers, by answering this important question, so why should I be thankful? Here's David to introduce today's message.
Well, we welcome you to a new week of Turning Point, and thank you for joining us. We are in the series, God, I Need Some Answers, and this series is built around the teaching of the Psalms. It's very difficult to teach through the book of Psalms because it's a very long book, and so what we normally do is we find a psalm that's meaningful to us, and it answers a question, and we teach on it. And here are several of these together in this series, which we have called God, I Need Some Answers, Life Lessons from the Psalms. Today, I want to talk with you about why we should truly be thankful as we begin the Thanksgiving season. What a great way to do that. And we're going to focus our attention on the 92nd Psalm. So find your place in the book of Psalms, and we're going to study this question. Why should I be thankful? Most of us shouldn't have to think very long to answer that question, but you'd be amazed at how easy it is for us to develop a spirit of ingratitude and how wonderful it is for the Bible to be there to remind us again of the agenda of Thanksgiving in each of our lives. We'll get to that in just a moment, but first let me remind you that during the month of November, we're celebrating calendar month. That's right. This is the month when we make available to you the calendar for the year 2010. And we've learned a few lessons in doing this over the years. Many people tell us that they get it and they can't use it right away, so we've extended the calendar, and it's now a 14-month calendar beginning in November of 2009. It includes those 2 months and then all 12 months of 2010. So the day you get the calendar, you can put it up and put it to use. This year's calendar has a theme, Glorious Love, and it features some very creative handiwork through the unique floral photography that we have captured. And you're going to notice as you see this that every month there is a picture that, well, it just illustrates the theme for the month. We want you to have this calendar. It's yours for the asking when you send your gift to Turning Point during the month of November. It's our way of saying thank you for your generosity. Well, if you've forgotten why you're thankful, we're going to help you today from Psalm 92, Why Should I Be Thankful?
Memory is the key to gratitude. There is a disease that we treat in our culture today that goes by the name amnesia. It is an interesting word, which means actually a without amnesia, mind, without memory. Literally, it means without any memory. While it is true that sometimes there are things we wish we could forget, it is also true that it would be very difficult for us to be grateful people if we could not remember, if we could not reflect on what God has done for us. And the Psalms are filled with the exhortation for each of us to take that assignment seriously. Here in Psalm 92, we are instructed that it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, and to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work, and I will triumph in the work of your hands. The psalmist said, it is a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. I'd like to reflect with you in 3 directions. I'd like to ask why it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Why should I be thankful? What will it do, and what should I expect from it? And first of all, I'd like for you to note with me that thanksgiving and a thankful heart causes us to look upward. In the Word of God, we are constantly admonished to give thanks, and the Word of God usually tells us in the same paragraph of instruction where our thanksgiving is to be addressed. Here in the psalm, which we have opened to, it says, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. For you, Lord, says verse 4, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. Verse 5, O Lord, how great are your works, and your thoughts are very deep. And verse 8, but you, Lord, are on high forevermore. The psalm is an instruction to us that thanksgiving, first of all, takes our eyes off of the things that are around us and addresses them upward. Thanksgiving really is that which we offer back to God for what He in turn has given to us. And it is always an upward look. Psalm 107 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Psalm 107, 21 and 22. There have been many who have expressed a spirit of gratitude, and we have read about them both in the tales that have been written about our culture here in America and especially in England and many of the great historical writings. And there are many men in the Scripture about whom we read that they were grateful, but there is one man who stands out from all the rest, and that man is the Apostle Paul. I am constantly amazed as I read the letters of the New Testament, which are the focus of our study as New Testament believers, that Paul was a man who was inoculated with a great spirit of gratitude. And I'm reminded as I say that, that he was also the man who suffered greatly, who went through many difficult things in his life, and yet at the same time was a man who was filled with gratitude. He constantly focused his attention upon God. He wrote to the Ephesians, giving thanks always for all things unto God. He wrote to the Colossians, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. He wrote to the Thessalonians, we give thanks to God always for you. He wrote to young Timothy, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who enabled me. He wrote to Philemon, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer. The psalmist here in Psalm 92 directs our attention, first of all, upward. And I know that seems rather mundane, and perhaps you wonder why we would even mention such a thing. Does it not normally go with the territory that when you come to church, they tell you to think about God? I understand that the very history of the steeple that is seen in most churches is that it points to God, and that the picture is that the closer one gets to God, the smaller he sees himself to be. So thanksgiving is obviously God-directed. But isn't it interesting how easily we forget that? And even at Thanksgiving time, we thank each other, we spread thanksgiving in the spirit of gratitude throughout our home, and we never really stop to reflect upon the fact that thanksgiving, first of all, is an upward calling. It's a gravitational pull in reverse, bringing our praises upward to God. And someone has given us a litany of the things for which we ought to address thanksgiving to God. For His sovereign control over our circumstances, for His gentle compassion in our sorrows, for His consistent faithfulness through our highs and our lows, for His holy character in spite of our sinfulness, for His strong no when we needed to hear it, for His surprising yes when we had the lack of faith to believe it, for His wise wait when we were impatient and rash, for His commitment to us when we wandered away, for His understanding of us when we were confused, for His word that gives us direction, and for His love that holds us close. And that's just a smattering of reasons why we should be thankful to God. I have a little prayer journal that I keep, and I have a section in it for thanksgiving, and I wasn't sure exactly how to write my thanksgivings. First, I thought I would just write down the things that I was thankful for, and then I thought, no, that's not a good habit to get into. And so I began to write out, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. And the whole pages in that little journal are filled with thank you, Gods. Because first and foremost in our spirit of gratitude is the upward look. He is the one who is the author of every good gift that we have. But secondly, it is good to give thanks not only because it causes us to look up, it is good to give thanks because it causes us to look around. Paul was not only grateful to God in all of his writings, but he was a man who was into relationships. He wasn't the loner he's often painted to be. In fact, if you read his letters, he can't close out a letter without giving the names of all the people who are with him and all the people that he knows who are at the point of destination of the letter. And he talks about them with fondness and he mentions their names and he usually says something about them. And if you read the letters carefully, you will see that he is always giving thanks to God for people, for friends and for relatives and for people who have come alongside him to encourage him. 1 Timothy 2:1, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Paul says we're to give thanks to God for our friends and for our loved ones. If you read through his epistles, you will see him doing that often. He mentions over and over again the names of Acts 28:15. He says, and from there, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us, whom when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Every time Paul was next to somebody who God sent to minister to him, he was filled with gratitude. Romans chapter 6, he writes, but God be thanked that whereas you were servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart. He thanks God for the people who respond to the ministry. If you go through all of his letters, I don't think you'll find one that is not salted with the spirit of gratitude for relationships. I don't think you can undersell the importance of friendship. If you have someone you're close to, somebody who's ministering to you, somebody who's put their arm around you on occasion, someone who may cry and laugh with you, the relationship as you look around is a very, very important thing for which to give thanks. I was in Greensboro and I was asked to do something I've never done before, and that is to preach a revival meeting. And we don't actually do that much on the West Coast, but back there in the Bible Belt, they have what they call revival meetings. And I went to preach a revival meeting for 4 nights. And it was a great experience and one that I will remember for a long time. On Tuesday night of the meeting, after I was finished preaching, one of the young women came and asked me if I would speak to someone who was waiting to talk with me. And she said she's too frightened or too embarrassed to come and talk with you. So I went over and sat down and she told me the story. She said, you know, Friday I was driving in my car. And she said, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, Pastor Jeremiah, but I was on my way to take my life. I was so discouraged and felt so useless and worthless. And she said, I turned the radio on and I heard this guy teaching the life of David. And he said he was talking about Saul and Saul's suicide. And she said, as I drove down the highway, I heard this man say, and some of you may be thinking of doing what Saul did, but don't you do it. It's not what God wants for you. And she said, it shocked me. It was almost like the voice in the radio was talking right to me. And she said, I pulled my car off the road and all I could do was cry. And she said, then I called my friend, and here's the issue. And she said, my friend came and got me and took me to her house. And I stayed with her and her husband all weekend, and they wouldn't let me leave because they were afraid of what I might do. And the friend was the young lady who had introduced me to her that night. And she said, on Monday, my friend asked me if I would go to a meeting with her that night. And she said, where's the meeting? She says, right here in Greensboro. She said, well, who's going to speak? And she said, my friend said it was a man by the name of David Jeremiah. And she said, then I started to cry again. And I told my friend, that's the man I heard talking to me on the radio on Friday. What's he doing in Greensboro? And I was kind of spooked by this whole thing. I want you to know, this is kind of scary. And I talked with her, and I could tell she was a deeply troubled young lady and going through some real struggles in her life. She came to the services every night that week, and on Thursday night when we closed the meeting, She came forward and gave her life to Christ. And I waited. I had a lot of people to talk to, so it was a long time after the service, and she waited to talk with me, and I went over to see her, and I want to tell you something. I'm not exaggerating when I say I have never seen a person so transformed visually by an encounter with the Almighty God. Her face, her countenance, her whole bearing was changed. Jesus Christ had come to live within her, and I knew she was a new creation. But do you know what the difference was for that young lady? I know the radio had something to do with it. The church service had something to do with it. But you know what the real difference was? It was a friend who came and got her at the point of her crisis, put her arm around her, and brought her into her own home. And when she gives thanksgiving this year to God, she will have many things on her list, but she will have one thing she will have to be very grateful for, and that is a relationship that was worthy and that helped her through a difficult time. If you read the epistles, you will see that Paul had that kind of an incredible fondness for the people who ministered to him. I hear him saying in 2 Timothy to his friends, I wish I could be with you. I'm sad that you can't be here. Bring my coat when you come, and especially bring my books. You get the picture as you read the letter that Paul wrote, that he was very involved in relationships. When you look around, you can't help but be thankful for relationships. But could I add one other thing? You need to be thankful for circumstances too. Would you please look back with me for a moment at Psalm 92 and notice how he addresses the subject of gratitude. He says, verse 2, we are to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. He's chosen the words carefully, at least if they're any mirror of my experience. When I wake up in the morning, I feel the sense of God's presence in my life and so grateful for the night of rest, if indeed it has been such a night, and refreshed for the new day and just the sense of God's presence. There's a Hebrew word. It's the word hesed. And it's the word translated loving kindness. And it's a rich, rich word that just describes the goodness and the graciousness of God. In the morning, the psalmist is overwhelmed with God's chesed, his loving kindness. But at night, it's a different word. It's his faithfulness. Who of us have not stood on the edge of a day and looking back over the day, seeing the many places where we could have gotten off the track? The many places where, if God had not been good to us, we could have truly walked astray, and we thank him that he's been faithful to us. But notice, this is every day. This is day in and day out. It is God's goodness to us morning and night. And there's another place where it talks about praising and thanking God at midnight and at noontime. In all of our lives, day in and day out, we're to have a spirit of gratitude, regardless of the circumstances. It's hard to do that sometimes. Did you know that the reason Thanksgiving Day is a time for us to feast is because of the courage of one man who wanted to turn adversity around into something positive? A long drought had produced the failure of crops, and a solemn assembly was called for a day of fasting and prayer. And one after another, the different ones related the hardships of the new life and lamented the destructive drought and what it had done. And finally, an old farmer got up and he started to speak freely of how they had provoked heaven with their complaints. And he reviewed the mercies they had already enjoyed. And he reminded them that they had not been as grateful as they should have been. And he suggested, in fact, he made a motion that instead of appointing a day for fasting, they should appoint a day for feasting. And this was done, and it is claimed that our Thanksgiving Day is a continuation of that. It almost was a fast, and it turned out to be a feast. Out of adversity. Someone tried to reflect this kind of a spirit in a mundane kind of simple way and wrote this little piece, and I've got it here. It says, Lord, thank you for this sink of dirty dishes. We do have good food to eat. Thank you for this pile of dirty laundry. We do have nice clothes to wear. I'd like to thank you for these unmade beds. They sure were comfortable last night. My thanks for this bathroom, complete with spattered mirror, soggy towels, and grimy lavatory. It's still very convenient. Thank you for this finger-smudged refrigerator that needs defrosting so badly. It has served us faithfully for a long time, and inside are cool drinks and enough leftovers for another meal. Thank you for this oven that absolutely must be clean today. It has baked us many good things over the years. Oh God, our whole family is grateful for the tall grass that needs mowing. We all enjoy our private yard. Thank you for the slamming screen door. The children are healthy and able to run and play. Lord, the presence of all these chores awaiting me says that you have richly blessed this family. I do them all cheerfully and gratefully. Amen. And who among the housewives and the mothers and homemakers wouldn't like to have that pasted on the refrigerator for a dark day? In the midst of the mundane chores, you can still be thankful, can't you? Because everything that turns out to be a difficulty in our eyes is usually, if we look behind it, the evidence of something good God has done for us. Isn't that true? And so when you look around, and that's the point I want to get across to you. First of all, you look up at God, and then you look around and you see the people that you're involved with. And you see the circumstances that God has brought into your life, and you give thanks. Then I want to suggest to you, thirdly and finally, that thanksgiving causes us to look within. It causes us to look inwardly. Can you look back over this year and chart anything that God has done in your life? Has He grown you up in any way? Has He worked you over in any way? Has He strengthened you at the core of who you are? Can you look back and say, boy, it hasn't been a great year for me, but I have learned so much about God during this year. One writer reflects the list of inward praises by saying, Lord, thank you for the gift of good health. Thank you for eyes that see the beauty of your creation, for ears that receive the world of sound surrounding us. Thank you for the special stimulation of taste and touch, for hands to work with and legs to walk with. For a mind that is curious and creative and competent, for memories of past pleasures, for heartaches that force me to rearrange my priorities, for broken dreams and lingering afflictions that humbled me, for the courage to tell the truth when it really hurt, for the determination to finish a demanding task, for a sense of humor that brought healing and hope, and for the sheer delight of knowing and walking with you through another year. You know what? I'm just so grateful today that I'm standing behind this place we call the pulpit and still have the privilege of ministry and still have the opportunity to open the book of God with you every week and still have the opportunity to share His truth and to sing His praises and to help lead in worship. And all of that is because of what God is doing and has done in my heart. When I look inward, I see the traces of the hand of God in my life. What an incredible thing to be able to observe. I am not the same man that I was. And though I'm not what I want to be and not what I ought to be, thank God I'm not what I was. Amen? Do you ever stop to look inward and say, God, thank you for what you've done in my life? First we look up. And then we look around. And then we look in. And we're grateful.
Amen. Well, I hope you're grateful today. As we enter into this season of Thanksgiving, we need to be reminded of all the reasons we have to lift up hearts of gratitude to Almighty God. You know, I've been telling you recently about this opportunity that God has provided for us to visit the Reformation sites in Europe as we head toward Oberammergau, the Passion Play of 2010. And each city where we go on this tour, we're going to stop along the way and we'll share the story of great men of passion and belief who fanned into flame the ideas that would become the foundation for Protestant faith. We're going to hear of Martin Luther's passionate pounding on the church door, of Calvin and Zwingli's efforts in Switzerland, and of John Huss and John Wycliffe, who took radiant steps toward new thought and dared to stand on the Bible as their source for belief. And while tracing the story of the Reformation, we'll stop in Oberammergau. Germany is the place where this is located, and it's the perfect place and the perfect time to see the famous Passion Play. Believe it or not, this is an event that's performed only once every 10 years. It's a 5-hour play that tells the story of Jesus' last days on earth in a compelling way that will stir your faith into action. We're going to have Charles Billingsley with us to sing in all of the great cathedrals, and I can't imagine a better opportunity to learn more about the history of our faith. We'd like you to go with us. We have a brochure you can receive if you'll just call and ask for it or go to our website today.
The message you heard today originated in the pulpit of Shadow Mountain Community Church, where David Jeremiah serves as senior pastor. Please take a moment to share what God is doing in your life through this ministry by writing to Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838, San Diego, California, 92163. You can also contact us when you visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio or call 800-947-1993. When you call or visit online, don't forget to request this month's special resource, Glorious Love. This 14-month calendar, complete with holiday notations and read-through the Bible plan, is full of breathtaking floral images and thematic scripture, a daily reminder of God's beauty and power. It's yours today for a gift of any amount, so call 800-947-1993 or go online to davidjeremiah.org/radio. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we conclude the series, God, I Need Some Answers, here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.